Because today we are having His Grace Adi Gadadhar Prabhu to enlighten us on Chaitanya Charitamrita. So, Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Yes, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Please accept my humble obeisances. All glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. We are very grateful to you to give your valuable association to us. So, now I would like to hand over the call to you. Now you can continue. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Pavitra Madhavi Mataji. My humble obeisances to you and all the devotees who are listening. Very grateful to be in your association. Today we will continue our study of Srila Chaitanya Charitamrita by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami Maharaj. We are studying the Madhya Leela, chapter 19. We will be studying verse number 151 today. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Jaya Shri Chaitanya, Jaya Nityananda, Jaya Advaita Chandra, Jaya Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Brahmanda Brahmite Kona Bhagyavan Jiva Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Translation and purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada. Translation. According to their karma, all living entities are wandering throughout the entire universe. Some of them are being elevated to the upper planetary systems, and some are going down into the lower planetary systems. Out of many millions of wandering living entities, one who is very fortunate gets an opportunity to associate with a bona fide spiritual master by the grace of Krishna. By the mercy of both Krishna and the spiritual master, such a person receives the seed of the creeper of devotional service. Purport. When we speak of Brahmanda, we refer to the whole universe or to the cluster of many millions of universes. In all the universes, there are innumerable planets, and there are innumerable living entities upon those planets, in the air, on land, and in the water. There are millions and trillions of living entities everywhere, and they are engaged by Maya in suffering and enjoying the results of their fruitive activity life after life. This is the position of the materially conditioned living entities. Out of many of these living entities, one who is actually fortunate, Bhagyavan, comes in contact with a bona fide spiritual master by Krishna's mercy. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart, and if one desires something, Krishna fulfills one's desire. If the living entity by chance or by fortune comes in contact with the Krishna consciousness movement and wishes to associate with that movement, Krishna, who is situated in everyone's heart, gives him the chance to meet a bona fide spiritual master. This is called Guru Krishna Prasad. Krishna is prepared to bestow his mercy upon all living entities. And as soon as a living entity desires the Lord's mercy, the Lord immediately gives him an opportunity to meet a bona fide spiritual master. Such a fortunate person is fortified by both Krishna and the spiritual master. He is helped from within by Krishna, and from without by the spiritual master. Both are prepared to help the sincere living being become free from material bondage. How one can become this fortunate can be seen in the life of Srila Narad Muni. In his previous life, he was born of a maid servant. Although he was not born into a prestigious position, his mother was fortunately engaged in rendering service to some Vaishnavas. When these Vaishnavas were resting during the Chaturmasya period, the boy Narad took the opportunity to engage in their service. Taking compassion upon the boy, the Vaishnavas offered him the remnants of their food. By serving these Vaishnavas and obeying their orders, the boy became the object of their sympathy. And by the Vaishnavas' unknown mercy, he gradually became a pure devotee. In the next life, he was Narad Muni, the most exalted of Vaishnavas and the most important guru and acharya of Vaishnavas. Following in the footsteps of Narad Muni, this Krishna consciousness movement is rendering service to humanity by giving everyone a chance to come in contact with Krishna. If one is fortunate, he becomes intimately related with this movement. Then, by the grace of Krishna, one's life becomes successful. Everyone has dormant Krishna bhakti, love for Krishna, and in the association of good devotees, that love is revealed. As stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila 22.107, Nitya Siddha Krishna Prema Sadhya Kabunaya Shravanadi Shuddha Chitte Karaye Udaya. Dormant devotional service to Krishna is within everyone. Simply by associating with devotees, hearing their good instructions, and chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, dormant love for Krishna is awakened. In this way, one acquires the seed of devotional service. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Yena Tasmay Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swa Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prishthaya Bhutale Shrimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Itinamine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Deshatarine Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Namo Maha Vadanyaya Krishna Prema Pradayate Krishnaya Krishna Chaitanya Namne Gaurat Vise Namaha Pancha Tattva Atmakam Krishnam Bhaktarupa Swarupakam Bhaktavataram Bhaktakhyam Namami Bhakta Shaktikam He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dinabandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrinda Vaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shrivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Rama Rama, Hare 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 Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. I seek the blessings of all the devotees so that I may be able to serve you in such a way that by hearing from the scriptures, by repeating the words of the previous acharyas, our hearts become purified and our hearts become attracted to the lotus feet of Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. This verse is about Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching his dear student, Srila Rupa Goswami. He is teaching him that there are innumerable living entities. In the previous classes, we discussed how small the individual jivatmas are, the living entities are. 1/10,000, the tip of a hair. That is how small we all are, the spirit souls. And there are innumerable living entities in innumerable universes in the material creation. And the living entities have come here to fulfill their selfish desires, and we have turned away from Krishna. Therefore, we perform good and bad activities, karma, in this material world. The good karma gives us material enjoyment, which is temporary, and the bad karma gives us material suffering, which is also temporary. But when we do impious activities, we create sinful reactions for us, which come in three forms. Adhidaivik, Adhyatmik, and Adhibhautik. Miseries caused by other living entities to us, miseries caused by our own body, and miseries caused by natural disasters. For example, if a mosquito bites us and we get malaria, or if a HIV virus enters our body, or a hepatitis virus enters our body, or Streptococcus bacteria enters our lungs and causes pneumonia, or some robber or some terrorist harms us, some crazy person shoots at us. This is adhibhautik. Other living entities are causing miseries to us. If we get depression, which is a mental illness, if we get schizophrenia, bipolar disorder, or if we develop a cancer within our body, then this is adhyatmik. Our own body is causing us pain and suffering. And natural disasters like hurricanes, earthquakes, tsunami, tornadoes, these natural disasters, forest fires, they are adhidaivik types of sufferings. So our sinful reactions come to us because of our sinful activities in these three broad forms. Adhidaivik, Adhyatmik, Adhibhautik. And we suffer them. So these sinful reactions, Srila Rupa Goswami explains in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, are of four types. These sinful reactions, and this is very interesting, sinful reactions which have not borne fruit yet, sinful reactions which are bearing fruit right now, which are maturing right now, and sinful reactions which have already matured or have already borne fruit. These are the three, there are four types. These are three types that we'll discuss first. So sinful reactions, which have not come upon us as of yet. That is the first category. Second category is sinful reactions that have already come upon us and we are suffering them right now. And the third category is sinful reactions which we have already suffered for. And the fourth category is most interesting. The fourth category is called seeds. Sinful reactions which are still in the form of seeds. These are the sinful desires which are in our heart. And they can bear fruit, they can fructify any time in the future. Nobody can predict when it will happen. But those seeds of those sinful desires are there. So we may become devotees, but these seeds might fructify at any time in the future. And why are we discussing this? Because it is very relevant to the very beautiful nectarian pastime which we are going to discuss today. So our sinful activities produce sinful reactions which come to us in these four stages. In the seed form, reactions which will come in the near future, reactions which we are suffering right now, and reactions which we have already suffered for. So these reactions keep coming, and we keep reacting to the situations of our life, sometimes acting piously, sometimes acting impiously. And when we act impiously, again it produces further reactions, and the chain continues. Birth after birth after birth, we are just traveling Brahmanda Brahmite. We are just traveling through this Brahmanda, this material universe, enjoying and suffering. The cycle keeps continuing. But the problem with enjoying and suffering is, enjoying and suffering are both material. Material enjoying and material suffering. So it keeps us in the material world. We are not able to get out of this material world, which is the real solution. In this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is teaching us. By teaching Rupa Goswami, he is teaching all of us the value and the importance of Krishna consciousness. That after traveling through innumerable life forms, the living entity somehow, by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, obtains the seed of Krishna consciousness. This is how precious Krishna consciousness is. It is not something that is common. It is not something that is easily available. No. After going through so many different life forms, so many species, so many births and deaths, somehow finally by the inconceivable mercy of Guru and Krishna, we get the seed of Krishna consciousness. There are many seeds of sinful reactions in our heart. There are many seeds of sinful desires in our heart. There are many seeds of sinful propensities in our heart. But now we have also got a precious seed of Krishna consciousness. How to nurture that? How to take care of that seed of Krishna consciousness? That is called Bhakti Yoga. So, in this verse, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is explaining the rareness of Krishna consciousness and the importance of Guru and Krishna. Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. It is by the mercy of Guru and Krishna that we obtain Krishna consciousness. So today we will try to understand this philosophy for the next 30 minutes or so, 35 minutes or so. We'll try to understand this philosophy by studying a leela, a story, a pastime. So there is Krishna Katha and there is philosophy, Krishna Tattva. So there is philosophy and there is story. And Krishna performs a leela to explain the intricate philosophical truths to us. There is one very beautiful story of a very great Acharya who is very intimately connected with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, with Chaitanya Charitamrita, and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This Acharya is very intimately connected with Chaitanya Charitamrita, with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And his life story is so interesting. It is so hope-giving. It is so real. It is so human that we can all identify with. And his life story exactly teaches us the mercy of Guru and Krishna. How the mercy of Guru and Krishna works is very beautifully demonstrated in the life of this Acharya. Can any of you guess? You can unmute your phone and give the answer. Can any of you, one of you, guess who this Acharya is? This Acharya is very, very intimately connected with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because I'm giving you hints now. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to love to hear his compositions in the last 12 years of his manifest Leela in Jagannath Puri, when he was going deep and deep and internally into Mahabhav, into Radha Bhav, into the ecstasy of devotional service. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to love to hear his compositions. This Acharya is very intimately connected with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami wrote Chaitanya Charitamrita, but Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami also wrote a commentary on the literary work of this Acharya. Therefore, this Acharya is intimately connected with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. He precedes, needless to say, he precedes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami chronologically. Therefore, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami commented upon one of the magnum opus works of this Acharya that we are talking about. And this Acharya is intimately connected with Chaitanya Charitamrita, because in the Adi Leela, in the beginning of Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes one of the very famous verses, which we will all chant today, composed by this Acharya in the Adi Leela of Chaitanya Charitamrita. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami quotes the invocation prayer of this Acharya. Can anybody guess which Acharya we are talking about? I'll give you the answer.
Is it Rupa Goswami?
Sorry, Mataji?
Is it Rupa Goswami?
Good guess, Mataji. No, but this Acharya precedes Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, historically.
Is it Advaita Acharya?
No, Mataji. Good guess. Shall I give you the answer?
Kavi Kulshekhar, Chandigarh, Chandidas.
You are very close, Mataji. You are very close. You want to take one more guess? I think you will get it. Very close to Chandidas. And in some sense, close to Maharaj Kulashekhar also. Actually, I was thinking of discussing Kulashekhar Maharaj's story today, but I decided to do this. So anyway, this great Vaishnava Acharya, whose life teaches us very real, very human lessons, we can identify with him, with his shortcomings, with his journey, is Srila Bilva Mangal Thakur. Bilva Mangal Thakur appeared in the 7th or 8th century AD in South India. That's why he is somehow connected to Maharaj Kulashekhar, although they belong to different sampradayas. Maharaj Kulashekhar belongs to Sri Sampradaya, and Bilva Mangal Thakur belong to the Vishnu Swami Rudra Sampradaya. And he's connected to Chandidas because Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to love to hear the compositions of Chandidas, Vidyapati, Ramananda Raya's composition, and Bilva Mangal Thakur's Krishna Karanamrita. So, next 30 minutes we will discuss the journey of Bilva Mangal Thakur and how this Guru and Krishna Tattva, Guru Tattva and Krishna Tattva, how it is instrumental in the development of a devotee. All of us, this is very, very relevant. So Bilva Mangal Thakur in his previous birth was a devotee of Krishna, and Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu explains that there are 9 stages of bhakti, Ado Shraddha. It starts with basic faith in Krishna consciousness. Then we get Sadhu Sangha. Because of Sadhu Sangha, we start our sadhana, bhajana kriya. We start chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra, for example. Then begins Anartha Nivritti. This is the longest stage, very difficult and long process, Anartha Nivritti. We get rid of all the impurities in our heart. Then there is Nishtha. Then there is ruchi, asakti, then there is bhav, and finally there is the stage of Krishna prem, the ninth stage. So in the previous birth, in his previous life, Bilvamangal Thakur was a devotee of Krishna and he had reached the stage of bhava bhakti. He was on the stage of bhava. He was almost there, because attaining Krishna prem is the culmination of our journey. And then we are eternally in a liberated state, blissfully serving Krishna in Krishna consciousness. That is the stage of Krishna prem. So Bilvamangal Thakur was at the stage of bhava. He was almost there. He had almost perfected his bhakti. But he had one weakness. He still had some sexual desires. And his wife was very beautiful. And he was attached to his wife. So when he left his body in his next life, in his next birth, he was born in South India as Bilvamangal Thakur. And he was born in a Brahmin family, in a very pious family. His parents were very pious. But when Bilvamangal Thakur was a young man, he became attracted to a dancer. And he started visiting her. Bilvamangal Thakur's house was on the banks of the river Krishna. And he would cross the river every day in a boat. He would pay some fare to a boatman. He would cross. On the other side of the Krishna river was the house of the prostitute. Her name was Chintamani. And she would dance and she would entertain. And Bilvamangal Thakur was very, very attached to her on the sensual platform. And one day, Bilvamangal Thakur's father's Shraddha ceremony was being performed. And it was raining. And Bilvamangal Thakur was very anxious that the boatmen might leave the banks of the Krishna River because of the inclement weather. So he wanted to go to the river bank as quickly as possible so that he would be able to catch a boatman. Because as usual, every evening he would cross the river and he would spend the night with Chintamani. So even on the day when the Brahmins were performing his father's Shraddha ceremony, Silhara Mishra, what was his name before he became Bilvamangal Thakur, he was telling the Brahmins, make haste, come on, hurry up, finish the Shraddha, finish the ceremony, finish this puja quickly. Don't you know I have to go? And finally, you know, the Brahmins were trying their best to hurry up, but you know, you have to follow the vidhi, you have to follow the proper process. Finally, Silhara Mishra, Bilvamangal Thakur, he became so restless, he became so impatient that right in the middle of the Shraddha ceremony, he got up and he left. He said, I cannot wait any longer. I have to go to Chintamani. He was so lusty. His senses were so uncontrolled. He got up and he left. And it was raining torrentially. He came to the banks of the Krishna River and he saw that because of the bad weather, all the boatmen had left. There was nobody to help him cross the river. Some people who lived near the banks of the Krishna River advised him, Silhara Mishra, don't be crazy. Don't be foolish. Don't attempt to cross the Krishna River by yourself. The waters are surging. The river is flooding. It has a very swift current. You will drown and you will die. But Silhara Mishra was so lusty. Bilvamangal Thakur was feeling so lusty. There was so much lust in his heart that he could not control himself. His mind was telling him, you can do it. Come on. Just jump in the Krishna river and swim across. You have to go and see the beautiful Chintamani. You have to go and enjoy. So Bilumangal Thakur jumped in the Krishna river, and somehow he tried to swim, but it was too difficult. The water was too swift. The current was too strong. And there was a heavy downpour of rain. When Bilumangal Thakur thought he was about to drown, luckily, he found something that was floating in the river. So he held on to that floating object. And somehow with the help of that floating object, he got some buoyancy and somehow he managed to swim across and cross the Krishna river. And when he reached on the other side, he realized that the floating object was actually a corpse. It was a dead body. You see, in those days, if there was a famine, for example, if there was cholera or any other natural, disease that caused an epidemic, and there was mass casualty, a lot of people died in a village, then sometimes they did not have enough wood to even cremate them. In such emergency situations, if there was a holy river close by, they would just put the dead body in the river because they did not have the facility to cremate so many bodies. Or sometimes in some special situations, like if the dead person is just a small child, then they would just put the dead body in the holy river on banana leaves. They would make a small boat of banana leaves and lower the body into the holy river. So this was a corpse, a dead body that Bilumangal Thakur had taken help of to help himself keep afloat and cross the Krishna river. When he got to the other side of the river, he rushed to the house of Chintamani. And he was banging, knocking, banging, kicking, punching on the door of Chintamani. Open the door, open the door. But Chintamani thought, in such inclement weather, in such bad weather, when there are no boatmen around, there is no way Bilumangal Thakur will come to meet me. So she had locked the door, locked the gate of the compound door of her house. And because it was raining so heavy and there was such a loud sound on the roof made by the rain on the house of, on the roof of Chintamani's house, and there was gusty winds and lot of noise, Chintamani could not hear the knocking and the banging of Bilumangal Thakur on her gate. But Bilumangal Thakur was not discouraged. He said, I have to see her. He was shivering in the cold rain. He was drenched with cold water. All his clothes were wet. He could barely see because of the heavy rain. He decided to climb the wall of Chintamani. And he was climbing. He was trying his best to climb. But he was not able to. Finally, he found something hanging on the wall. So he held on to it. And somehow, he climbed up on the wall. And when he climbed up, he realized that there was a hole in the wall. And inside that hole, a long, powerful snake was trying to hide, escape from the rain also. Snakes like to go inside holes when it is raining. The snake was trying to go inside that hole, and the rope-like thing that Bilumangal Thakur had taken help of to climb the wall, to scale the wall, was actually the tail of this huge, powerful snake. When I read this, I was thinking, how is it possible that Bilumangal Thakur could use the snake as a rope to climb the wall? But actually, recently one of my friends shared a video with me where there was a snake who had gone inside the rim, under the rim of a commode. And they were showing that with a special instrument, with a clamp, they held the snake and they were trying to yank the snake out, pull the snake out. But it was so difficult The snake has such powerful grip, and snake's body is pure muscle. It's just pure muscle. He hardly has any skeleton. It's all muscles. That's why the coils of the snake are very strong. They can actually smother us. They can actually suffocate us. They just prevent our chest from expanding. They prevent us from breathing. That's how they kill us. And then the cobra swallows us, the python. Very muscular, very strong. So yes, these snakes do have such a big grip, such a strong grip. And in the rains, the snake did not want to come out. So he allowed Bilwa Mangal Thakur to use it as a rope. Bilwa Mangal Thakur realized that this was a python that he had taken help of. And then in the rain, in the powerful wind, he lost his balance. And from top of the wall, he fell inside the compound of Chintamani. He fell in the courtyard of Chintamani. And he fell with such a thud, such a sound. And because of his pain and agony, he was screaming so loudly that Chintamani thought she heard something. She opened her window and she saw that Bilwa Mangal Thakur was lying in the courtyard, almost lifeless and bleeding. She ran out of the house and somehow managed to pull him inside. And she saw that Bilwa Mangal Thakur was in a critical condition. She tried her best to nurse him back to health. It took several days, but finally she was able to nurse him back to health. And when Bilwa Mangal Thakur was able to speak, Bilwa Mangal Thakur with great pride told Chintamani that for you I braved the rainstorm. I swam across the flooding Krishna River. I took help of a dead body to keep myself afloat in the swift currents of the Krishna River. I held on to a python to climb up your wall. I risked my life, oh dear Chintamani, for your sake. He thought Chintamani would be very happy to hear this. But the verse that we were discussing today from Chaitanya Charitamrita, it clearly says, Guru Krishna Prasade Paya Bhakti Lata Bija. Guru Krishna Prasad. Prasad means mercy. Guru Maharaj is very merciful. Krishna is very merciful. And somehow by the mercy of Guru and Krishna, Chintamani was inspired to speak these words to Bilwa Mangal Thakur. She chastised him. She said, just look at yourself, Bilwa Mangal. Just look at yourself. You are born in such a pious Brahmin family. But just see how lusty you have become. How lusty you have become for my body, which is nothing but a bag of bones, blood, mucus, stool, and urine. You think my body is very attractive, but actually my body is just a bag of bones, blood, and stool. Why are you so attracted to this mortal body? How much risk, how much pain you have undergone just to come and enjoy me? If you would have the same determination, if you would be so sincere for Krishna as you are for me, I am telling you, Bilwa Mangal, you would be the greatest devotee on earth. If only you had the same enthusiasm to reach Krishna as you had to reach me, you would become the greatest devotee. When Bilwa Mangal Thakur heard these words of chastisement from his dear Chintamani. It was a turning point for him. See, all of us, all the devotees who have joined, if you look at your own life, if I ask you, how did you come to Krishna consciousness? What was the day when you decided you are going to chant 16 rounds? If you examine your life, you will see that there was a turning point in your life. Something happened. You were on the fence, and then something happened that tipped you over. That no, enough of this materialistic life. I want to devote my life to Krishna. I am going to take this process seriously. We have all had that epiphany, that moment, that turning point, that critical moment. This was the critical moment. This was the turning point in the life of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. When Chintamani chastised him, Bilwa Mangal Thakur felt as if Krishna was speaking through her. And it opened her eyes. It opened his eyes. It made him aware that yes, indeed, I am in such a fallen condition. I am wasting my life. How many times I have enjoyed the body of Chintamani, but still I am not satisfied. Still I am not satisfied. Material enjoyment can never give real satisfaction. There has to be something deeper. There has to be something better. There has to be something more meaningful to life than this. He offers his obeisances to Chintamani for showing him the right path. And immediately he leaves to seek a guru. Guru Tattva manifests to each of us in three ways. There are three types of gurus. Vartama Pradarshaka Guru is one who shows us the right path. Like when Srila Prabhupada, when he was Abhaycharan Day, one of his friends told him that a very saintly person has come to Calcutta. He is giving a satsang on the terrace of this and this place. You come with me. And Abhaycharan said, No, I have seen a lot of sadhus like this. I have never been impressed by any of them. My father used to bring so many sadhus. No, this sadhu is not like that. He is a very special person. You come. And he literally dragged Abhaycharan in the presence of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And when Srila Prabhupada argued with Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and when Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur defeated Abhaycharan in arguments, Abhaycharan in his heart accepted him as his Gurudev, as his spiritual master, as his eternal spiritual master. But the friend who brought Srila Prabhupada to Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, it is mentioned that he himself did not become a serious devotee. But he was Srila Prabhupada's Vartama Pradarshaka Guru. Ye yatha mam prapadyante tamstatha eva bhajamyaham mano vartamanu vartante manushya partha sarvasha. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says this famous verse. So here he says that mama vartamanu vartante, that everybody follows my path, O Arjuna. So Vartama in Sanskrit means the road, the path. So Vartama Pradarshaka Guru. Pradarshaka means one who shows you. So Vartama Pradarshaka Guru is a guru who shows you the path of Krishna consciousness. He or she may or may not be very sincere or exalted devotee, but they do a very important function of showing you the right path. So again, if we look at our lives, we can see that yes, there were some people, some book distributor, some preacher, some relative, some family member, some friend, someone who introduced us to Krishna consciousness. They are our Vartama Pradarshaka Guru. Then there are Shiksha Gurus. There are so many people. There are spiritual mentors or counselors or guides or, you know, people who answer our questions, who guide us in Krishna consciousness. They are our Shiksha Gurus. We can have many Shiksha Gurus. And then finally, there is the Diksha Guru. Diksha Guru is the person who actually gives us spiritual initiation and gives us the mantra, which helps us advance in Krishna consciousness. Generally speaking, Diksha Guru is one. We can have many Shiksha Gurus, but generally, Diksha Guru is one. Of course, there are exceptions, but generally speaking. So, Chintamani was the Vartama Pradarshaka Guru of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And then Bilwa Mangal Thakur sought out a spiritual master. And it is said that seek and you shall find. So he found Somagiri, who was a very advanced transcendentalist. It is said that actually Somagiri was in the Advaita Sampradaya, Advaita school of thought. But nevertheless, he brought transcendence into the life of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur became interested in Brahman, became interested in transcendence. And as he was advancing on the path of transcendence, internally Bilwa Mangal Thakur started getting some spiritual ecstasies. Now he was an initiated disciple of Somagiri, and he started getting internal ecstasies, and he was always remembering Vrindavan. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur composed some very beautiful poetry glorifying Vrindavan and the pastimes of Krishna. When Somagiri read these compositions of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, he gave him a very nice upadhi, a very nice title of Leela Shuka. Actually, it's interesting. Bilwa Mangal means a very auspicious fruit. Bilwa means the bale fruit. Bale tree, bale leaves are very auspicious. And Bilwa Mangal, Mangal means auspicious. So Bilwa Mangal means a very auspicious fruit. And Leela Shuka, Leela means Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities. And Shuka is the parrot, Shukdev Goswami. So it is said that when Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken from the lotus mouth of Shukdev Goswami, who is Srimati Radharani's parrot, Shuka, Srimad Bhagavatam, which was composed by Srila Vyasdeva, and it was already transcendentally sweet, but when it was narrated by the lotus mouth of the parrot, Shukdev Goswami, it became even sweeter. Srimad Bhagavatam, which was infinitely sweet, became even sweeter. So, similarly, Somagiri glorified Bilwa Mangal Thakur by saying that when you narrate the pastimes of Krishna, these pastimes are already unlimitedly sweet, but when you narrate them, they become even sweeter. So he gave him the upadhi of Leela Shuka. Just like Shukdev Goswami is expert in describing Krishna Leela, he said, you are also very expert in describing Krishna Leela. So he gave him the name Leela Shuka, Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And then Bilwa Mangal Thakur served under his guru, Somagiri, for some time. And then one day, following the internal inspiration of his heart, Bilwa Mangal Thakur asked permission from his spiritual master Somagiri if he could go, if he could travel to the cherished destination of his heart, Vrindavan Dham. And Somagiri very happily gave his blessings to Bilwa Mangal Thakur and said, yes, please proceed to Vrindavan. You have my full blessings. Go to Vrindavan and execute devotional service. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur started traveling towards Vrindavan all the way from South India by foot. He was walking. Took him many, many months. And his compositions, which he had composed at the ashram of Somagiri, had become so famous in South India that a lot of people knew him. So every village where he went, people were reciting his compositions, and they recognized him as the author, as Leela Shuk Bilwa Mangal Thakur, as the author of those beautiful compositions. So he was given a good reception, a good welcome at most of the villages where he went. in his travels on his way to Vrindavan Dham. Now, we were discussing the 9 stages of perfection of devotional service, and we discussed that Anartha Nivritti is the longest stage. It is longest and most difficult because it actually overlaps on the subsequent stages also. It overlaps on Nishtha, it overlaps on Asakti, overlaps on Ruchi, overlaps on up to Bhav. So just like Bharat Maharaj, he was also on the Bhava platform, and Bilomangal Thakur in his previous life also was at the Bhava platform. And even now, after getting the title Upadhi of Leela Shuk, after composing beautiful compositions about Krishna Leela, after being initiated, after practicing Krishna consciousness for so many years, after having enlightenment by hearing the chastisement of Chintamani, even after all this, Bilvamangal Thakur was not 100% purified. And as he was traveling towards Vrindavan, one day he saw a very beautiful lady. She was filling water at a well. And Bilvamangal Thakur stopped. And as soon as he saw the beauty of this lady, his heart became captivated. His heart was pierced by the arrows of Kandarpa, Cupid. And lusty desires resurfaced in his heart. And he started staring lustily at this woman. This woman was a wife of a simple Brahmin. And Krishna had indeed blessed her with lot of beauty, physical beauty. So when she saw that Bilvamangal Thakur is staring at her, she became very uncomfortable. And being a chaste wife, she immediately covered her head and rushed home. And Bilvamangal Thakur was so captivated by her beauty, he just followed her. And Bilvamangal Thakur was used to being honored and respected for 2 reasons. One is, he was in the dress of a renunciate. And secondly, he was famous for his compositions. So people respected him, that, oh, this is the great Leela Shuk Bilvamangal Thakur. He is in the renounced order of life. And he was also famous. So people were respecting him. People were giving him whatever he wanted. So he just followed this lady. And the lady ran inside her house, and her husband asked her, what happened? Why are you looking so worried? And she told her husband that this monk, he's following me, and the way he's looking at me, it makes me very uncomfortable. So the husband immediately went outside and he saw Bilvamangal Thakur standing in their courtyard. So he saw Bilvamangal Thakur had the clothes of a renunciate. He looked very learned. And he looked like he had some spiritual effulgence. At least that is what the Brahmin thought. So he bowed down before Bilvamangal Thakur and addressed him, "My dear sir, you look like a very advanced renunciate. Why are you following my wife?" So Bilvamangal Thakur could not control his lust, and very shamelessly he told the Brahmin, "Because I want to be with her alone. I want to spend time with her alone." The Brahmin immediately understood the intention of Bilvamangal Thakur. But you see, in those days, in the 7th and 8th century in Bharat, saffron did not have such a bad reputation. In fact, it was very well respected. But now, by the influence, as Kali Yuga has progressed, people have lost the respect for saffron. Because of so many bad experiences that people have had, society has had. But in those days, saffron was very much respected. So this Brahmin thought that even Satyavati, who was a fisherwoman, she united with Parashar Muni. And the result was that they were the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vyasdev, appeared as her son. And Parashar blessed her that her body will become supremely fragrant. There are so many examples like this in the scriptures. Great sadhus, they come to give special blessings. Even Vidur was born from Vyasdev. So this Brahmin thought that this sannyas, this renounced person has come. Maybe he wants to give some special gift to us, or maybe we are going to be blessed with a child or something. So he immediately goes inside and he says that, my dear wife, this sannyasi, this renunciate, he wants to meet you alone. So please prepare yourself. Maybe this is the desire of providence. Maybe it is in our karma. Moreover, he is our atithi, he is our guest. So we cannot turn his request away. We cannot turn him away. We cannot turn his request down. So please prepare yourself and please be with him alone. Saying this, the husband goes out of the house and he tells Bilwa Mangal Thakur that, sir, my wife is ready. Please go inside the house and do as you please. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur went inside the house and he closed the door behind him. And there in the room, he saw the beautiful wife of the Brahmin ready to serve him in whatever way he wanted. Bilwa Mangal Thakur approached this beautiful lady. And just imagine, here is Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who had reached the Bhav platform in his previous birth. Here is Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who had such a deep spiritual realization when he was chastised by Chintamani. Here is Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who was initiated by a great guru like Somagiri. Here is Bilwa Mangal Thakur, who got so many spiritual realizations that even in the ashram of an impersonalist, he was able to write about pure bhakti. Here is the Bilwa Mangal Thakur to whom Krishna was revealing his own eternal pastimes. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur was given the capacity to write them down. Such high level of consciousness. And now, that same Bilwa Mangal Thakur, on his way to the holy land of Vrindavan, is lusting after the wife of another man. And somehow, by Krishna's arrangement, he even has the facility to enjoy her beauty, which he so badly wanted to. And there was nobody to stop him. There was nobody to interfere with his enjoying the beauty of this beautiful lady. But in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Tesham evanukam partham aham ajnanajam tama nashyami atma bhavasto jnanadipena bhasvata. Out of my causeless mercy, the darkness that is born out of ignorance in the hearts of my sincere devotees, I myself destroy that darkness with the shining lamp of knowledge. This was the darkest moment in the life of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. This was the darkest moment in the life of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. To be in that dark room with that beautiful woman who was the wedded wife of another man. Bilwa Mangal Thakur dressed in saffron, wanting to enjoy her. This was the darkest moment in the life of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. But Krishna is the Chaitya Guru. He is the Guru in our heart. Bilwa Mangal Thakur thought that he is alone with that beautiful lady. But actually, Bilwa Mangal Thakur was not alone with that beautiful lady. Krishna never left him. Krishna was in his heart. How could Krishna allow this to happen? At his darkest moment, when he was going to have the biggest fall down of his life, something that would have ruined his reputation permanently, something that would have ruined the reputation of the saffron robes. Something that would have permanently damaged the psychology of that simple lady. Something that could have permanently destroyed the faith of that simple-hearted Brahman. How could Krishna let it happen? Krishna is so merciful. From within the heart of Bilwa Mangal Thakur, Krishna gave him the understanding, my dear Bilwa Mangal, please don't do this. You are on your way to Vrindavan. You are on your way to see me. Why do you want to see the temporary beauty of this world? Have you not enjoyed sensual beauty? Have you not enjoyed with Chintamani? Have you not enjoyed in so many births? You will never be satisfied. Stop. Don't do it again. Matirna Krishna Parata Swatova Mitho Vipadayeta Gruha Vatanam Adanta Gobhir Vishatam Tamishram Puna Punas Charvita Charvanana. Prahlad Maharaj tells in Bhagavatam, Matirna Krishna Parata Swatova. Matirna Krishna. One cannot fix our consciousness on Krishna. Parata Swatova. By advice of others, Parata Swatova. Or by one's own attempts, one's own endeavor. Mitho. Or by a combination of both. Others advising us and we ourselves endeavoring. We cannot fix our mind on Krishna as long as Adanta Gobhir. As long as our go means senses. Adanta means uncontrolled. As long as our senses are uncontrolled, we cannot fix our mind on Krishna. And then what happens? Puna punas charvita charvanana. We keep chewing that which we have already chewed millions of times, over and over and over and over again. We cannot give it up. Why? Because adanta gobhir, our senses are uncontrolled. No matter how much others tell us, no matter how much we tell ourselves, and neither by the combination of these two, we cannot approach Krishna, we cannot fix our mind on Krishna as long as our senses are uncontrolled. We have to put our foot down and say, no, I will not do this. Krishna is much more dear to me than this 5 minutes of sensual enjoyment. Serving Krishna is Nityananda. It is eternal happiness. And this is Mithyananda. This is just false, temporary enjoyment. It is not even real enjoyment. Lasts few minutes and that's it. Bilwa Mangal Thakur immediately feels, hears loud and clear the message of Krishna from within his heart. Krishna speaks to him as the Chaitya Guru. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur is overwhelmed with guilt. What am I doing? I am on my way to Vrindavan. My Guru has blessed me to grow to Vrindavan. I am representing the parampara. I am representing the renounced order of life. And just see what I am doing. These eyes, my two eyes, they are so addicted, they are so habituated to the opposite sex. These eyes are my enemies. He tells that beautiful lady, please give me your hairpins. Very obediently, the lady removes the hairpins
and gives them to Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He says, "Thank you, Mate. Thank you, Mother." And right in front of that lady, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, with those two sharp hairpins, he pierces his two eyes and gouges them out. "These eyes are my enemies. They were the biggest obstacle between me and my Krishna. Now no more fall down. Now no more temptations." The Brahmin's wife, she ran out. She opened the door and called her husband. And both of them were aghast beyond words. But before they could speak anything, Bilwa Mangal Thakur offered his obeisances to them, begged forgiveness, and left, asking people, "Please help this blind man to go to Vrindavan. Please tell me where is Vrindavan. Please tell me where is Vrindavan." Begging everyone, door to door, village to village, person to person, Bilwa Mangal Thakur somehow or other tried to make his way to Vrindavan. As he was approaching Vrindavan, he met a young boy. And this boy immediately struck up a very good conversation with Bilwa Mangal Thakur. They started talking about the forest, about the birds, the different trees, the rivers, the mountains, the weather, everything. And this boy was very kind to Bilwa Mangal Thakur. He asked Bilwa Mangal Thakur, "What is your name?" Bilwa Mangal Thakur introduced himself and he asked this boy, "Who are you?" "I am Bihari Lal. I live in one of the villages here. I am also going to Vrindavan. Come, I will take you with me. We will travel together." So he would hold Bilwa Mangal Thakur's hand. And while chatting with him, talking to him, they both made their way to Vrindavan. He would beg for some milk and he would give the milk to Bilwa Mangal Thakur so that he would get some strength to continue the journey. Finally, when they reached Vrindavan, suddenly Bilwa Mangal Thakur got inner realization that this Bihari Lal, this young boy who is hardly 10 years old, he actually is my Krishna. And this boy is holding Bilwa Mangal Thakur's hand and taking him to Vrindavan. And suddenly Bilwa Mangal Thakur tightens his grip on the hand of this boy. And he says to him, "My dear child, I have realized who you are. I have realized that you are the one who I seek so earnestly. You are none other than my Krishna. I have recognized you." And with both hands, Bilwa Mangal Thakur grasps the soft hand of this boy. And with tears in his eyes, tears coming out of his blind eyes, Bilwa Mangal Thakur tells him, "You are Krishna. You are Krishna. I have recognized you. You are Krishna." And this boy, naughty as he is, he wiggles and tries to free himself from the loving grip of the loving hands of the blind Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And there is a struggle. There is a sweet struggle. Bilwa Mangal Thakur doesn't want to give up the association of this boy. And this boy says, "Vrindavan has come. Now I will go my way, you go your way. And let me go." And he tries to free himself from the grip of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. Bilwa Mangal Thakur says, "No, you are the one I have been looking for all my life. You are the one for whom I give up my eyes. Now please don't leave me. I don't have anything in my life other than you. Please Krishna, please Damodar, please Govinda, please don't leave me. Please don't leave this old man. You are all I have. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur starts begging Krishna, please don't leave me and go. Krishna is Swarat. If Krishna wants to go, who can stop him? Even Kunti Devi could not stop. Krishna manages very easily to free himself from the loving grip of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And he runs away, never to come back in that form of Bihari Lal to Bilwa Mangal Thakur. When Krishna runs away, the loving heart of Bilwa Mangal Thakur spontaneously erupts in a very beautiful verse. This is such a crest jewel of all verses. It is so sweet, it has such a deep meaning, and it is so sweet to chant. We can just chant it and imagine how Bilwa Mangal Thakur must have spoken this to little Krishna. Hastam akshipya yatosmin balat Krishna kim adbhutam rudhayad yadi nirhasi paurusham ganayamite. Bilwa Mangal Thakur is telling him, Hastam akshipya yatosmin, you have released yourself from my grip. You have released yourself from the grip of my hands, O Krishna. Balad Krishna kim adbhutam. Do you think that this is very extraordinary display of your strength, O Krishna? That you have extricated yourself, you have freed yourself from the grip of this old man? Balad Krishna kim adbhutam. Do you think it is very extraordinary? Rudayad yadi nirhasi paurusham ganayamite. If you can free, I challenge you, Krishna. If you can free yourself from the grips of the core of my heart, then I will consider you a man. Then I will consider that you have some strength. Do that and show me. Rudayad yadi nirhasi paurusham ganayamite. Who can challenge Krishna like this? This is Bilwa Mangal Thakur. And then Bilwa Mangal Thakur goes to Brahmakund and settles down there. It is said that for 700 years, Bilwa Mangal Thakur stayed there in Vrindavan and then left this world sometime before the advent of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur appeared sometime in the 7th century or 8th century, and he departed in the 14th, sometime in the 14th or 13th century. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came in the 15th century. So Bilwa Mangal Thakur Samadhi is still there in Vrindavan. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur stayed in Vrindavan, composed beautiful Krishna Karanamrit. He used to sing beautiful songs in separation from Krishna. Krishna would come every day to hear the poetry of Bilwa Mangal Thakur. But Krishna would never let him touch him, because Krishna likes to give Vipralamba Bhav to his devotees. Why? Because in Vipralamba Bhav, the love of the devotees, which is already infinite, multiplies infinitely. Devotees go deeper and deeper and deeper in their love when there is separation. So Krishna would come every day. He would bring milk for Bilwa Mangal Thakur every day. He would keep the milk in front of him. Thakurji, I have brought this pot of milk for you. It is kept in front of you. Please drink it. But Krishna would never let the blind man touch him. Because Bilomangal Thakur was blind. He could not see Krishna. Bilomangal Thakur could only see through his hands, through the sense of touch. But Krishna would lovingly deprive Bilomangal Thakur. And Bilomangal Thakur would go deep and deeper in his love for Krishna and compose even more ecstatic, even more esoteric compositions. And Krishna would hear that with great love. Naham tishthami vaikunthe yoginam hridaye shuva madbhakta yatra gayanti tatra tishthami narada. Krishna tells Narad Muni, I am not in Vaikuntha, I am not in the hearts of the yogis. Where my devotees come together and sing my glories, that is where I am. This is a utsaha vakya. It doesn't mean that Krishna is literally not in Vaikuntha, he is not in the hearts of everybody, of the yogis. Sarvasya chaham rudi sannivishto. Krishna is in everybody's heart. Krishna is Vaikunthanath, he is always in Vaikuntha. But this is a utsaha vakya. Here Krishna is saying that the greatest happiness I get is not in Vaikuntha, is not in residing in the hearts of the meditative yogis. But the greatest happiness, O Narad, I get is where my devotees come together and they sing my glories. And this is natural. If somebody talks about us, if somebody is, you know, whispering about us in the group, naturally we have curiosity. Oh, let me go and hear what they are talking about me. They're talking about me. What are they saying? So similarly, when devotees come together and they are talking about Krishna, they are glorifying Krishna. Krishna is also interested. Krishna is also a person. He is also interested. What are my devotees talking? So Krishna comes with great happiness and hears the discussions of his glories. So Krishna would come every day. He would give milk to Bilvamangal Thakur every day. He would hear him sing. And Bilvamangal Thakur lived like this at Brahmakund in Vrindavan for almost 700 years. And then he went back to the spiritual world. So if we examine the life of Bilvamangal Thakur, Chintamani was his Vartama Pradarshaka Guru. Somagiri and Vishnu Swami were his. Somagiri was the initiating guru. And the acharyas in the line of Vishnu Swami were his Shiksha Gurus. And Krishna himself above all was his Shiksha Guru. And Bilvamangal Thakur himself writes this in the invocation prayers of Krishna Karnamrita. Just like before beginning any class, we always chant our invocation prayers. So similarly, in the invocation prayers of Krishna Karnamrita, the first verse is the invocation verse. Here Bilvamangal Thakur is identifying and glorifying this Guru Tattva. So we'll just chant this verse and then we'll end the class. Chintamanir jayati somagirir gurur me shiksha gurushcha bhagavan shikhipi chadauli yatpada kalpataru pallava shekhareshu Lila Swayamvara Rasam Labhate Jaya Shrihi. All glories to Chintamani, my Vartama Pradarshaka Guru, and my Shiksha Guru, my initiating spiritual master, Somagiri. All glories to my Shiksha Guru. So Somagiri is my Diksha Guru. All glories to my Shiksha Guru, the Supreme Personality of Godhead who wears peacock feathers in his crown. Yat pada kalpataru pallava shekhareshu lila swayamvara rasam labhate jayashri. Under the shade of his lotus feet, which are like desire trees, Jayashri, Srimati Radharani, enjoys the transcendental mellow of an eternal consort. So his Shiksha Guru is
शिक्षा गुरुश्च भगवान शिखिपिंच मौलि
शिखिपिंच मौलि कृष्णा भगवान कृष्णा हु वेयर्स अ पीकॉक फेदर इन हिज क्राउन कृष्णा डायरेक्टली इज हिज शिक्षा गुरु चिंतामणि इज हिज वर्तम प्रदर्शक गुरु एंड सोमगिरि इज हिज दीक्षा गुरु सो दिस इज हाउ वी कैन सी गुरु कृष्ण प्रसाद पाय भक्ति लता बीज एंड बिल्व मंगल ठाकुर फ्रॉम बीइंग अ मटेरियलिस्टिक लस्टी सेंस एंजॉयर टू एन इम्पर्सनलिस्ट टू अ साधना साधक टू अ कंप्लीटली परफेक्टेड शुद्ध भक्त प्योर डिवोटी ऑफ कृष्णा दैट इज हिज जर्नी वेरी होप गिविंग वेरी ह्यूमन वेरी रियल But the key message is we have to put our foot down and learn to say no to the anarthas and say yes to the voice of the Paramatma within and the voice of our Gurudev without. That we have to learn. So personally, I find the story of Bilwa Mangal Thakur very, very inspiring. And this verse from Chaitanya Charitamrit is very important. And Bilwa Mangal Thakur has a very intimate connection with Chaitanya Charitamrit, with Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, and with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So I thought that we will discuss this. And also, it is worth noting that Chintamani, after chastising Silhana Mishra, Bilwa Mangal Thakur, after chastising him, she also had a change of heart. She gave up her profession of dancing and she took to a life of Krishna Bhakti. She took to a life of asceticism. Just like the prostitute that Haridas Thakur reforms. Similarly, Chintamani also perfected her life. And that's why in such an exalted and esoteric composition as the Krishna Karna Amrit, which is nectar for the ears. Karna means ear. Amrit means nectar. Krishna Karna Amrit, the nectar to the ears of Krishna Katha. In such an esoteric and exalted composition as this, which even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu used to relish hearing in his Antya Leela. In such an exalted composition, in the very first Mangalacharan invocation verse, Bilwa Mangal Thakur at the very outset, he offers his pranam to Chintamani. Chintamani Jayati. All glories to Chintamani. Because a devotee is always grateful. A devotee never forgets those people who brought him or her to Krishna consciousness. A devotee never forgets the grace of their Shiksha Gurus and Diksha Guru. A devotee is always filled with gratitude. So with this, we will conclude our discussion today. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Bilwa Mangal Thakur. All glories to Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami. All glories to Sri Chaitanya Charitamrit and all glories to our beloved Srila Prabhupada, who is Shiksha Guru for all of us. Thank you very much. Nitai Gaur Premanandi. Hari Hari Bol. Hare Krishna.
There were a lot of callers who have been muted. I'm going to unmute everybody. You can ask questions related to the class or you can go ahead with comments. Just give me a second before I unmute all the users because I think many of them were, there was some background noise throughout the call, so we had to mute everyone. Just give me a few minutes. Okay, go ahead. If anyone else has, if anyone has any questions, comments, for Prabhuji related to the class, please go ahead. Thank you all so much for joining.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji, Dhanvat Pranam.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu.
Dhanyavad.
Yeah, this was like such a beautifully told story. Thank you so much. yeah, and Preeti Vilasini Mataji, I would definitely like if you could make this available to us, the recording.
Yes, it will be sent.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I have so many questions, actually. I don't know where to start, but I'll just start anywhere. You were explaining Bilva Mangala Thakur's name, the meaning. Like you were saying that Bilva means auspicious, but his whole name means...
No, Prabhuji. Mangal means auspicious.
Yeah,
and Bilva can refer to a fruit in general, or specifically it can refer to the bale fruit. Bale fruit is a particular fruit that grows in India, and it has got a lot of spiritual value and also medicinal value. It's considered to be a very holy tree, just like banyan tree or neem tree. So Bilva Mangal means auspicious fruit.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's what I was wondering, because I always knew Mangala to mean auspicious, so I got confused. Okay.
Yeah, Bilva Mangal means auspicious fruit, and Lila, Shuka. So Shuka is the parrot. So fruit becomes even sweeter, auspicious fruit becomes even sweeter when it is touched by the lips of the parrot. So that's why his guru, Somagiri, gave him the upadhi, his title, Lila Shuka. Bilva Mangala Thakur.
Hare Krishna. Oh yeah, that was another one of my questions. So let me where did I put that? Oh, so his initiated name became Shuka Lila.
Lila Shuka.
Oh, Lila Shuka.
Yeah. So Silhana Mishra was his. Original name, his birth name.
What was the first part of the Mishra?
Silhana Mishra. I don't know how to spell it or write it.
Okay, but just say it slowly.
Silhana Mishra.
Silhana.
Yeah. Silhana Mishra.
Uh-huh.
And then Bilva Mangal Thakur was his initiated name. And Somagiri was just a upadhi that was added, because there are many Bilva Mangal Thakurs in South India. So to distinguish them, our Bilva Mangal Thakur is Lila Shuka, Bilva Mangal Thakur.
Lila Shuka. Okay.
Yes, Prabhu.
Oh, so there are so many Bilva Mangalas, huh?
There are several Bilva Mangal Thakurs who have also composed poetry. So there can be confusion, but our Bilva Mangal Thakur appeared in the 7th or 8th century, and he's Lila Shuka.
And the poetry, that famous poetry that he composed, was called Krishna Karnamrita?
Yes, Krishna Karnamrita. And he also composed the Govinda Damodar Stotra. And many other literatures.
But the composition that Lord Chaitanya used to like to read
is Krishna Karnamrit.
It was that one, huh?
Yeah. Ramananda Rai and Swarup Damodar would read it to Mahaprabhu, and Mahaprabhu could feel the deep spiritual emotions in Krishna Karnamrit, and he would go very deep in ecstasy during the Antya Leela. So yes.
Okay, I was curious about the fact that he was, that he took initiation in the Rudra Sampradaya, because in the Rudra Sampradaya, normally the devotees there, what form of Krishna do they usually worship?
So, Prabhuji, there are in the four sampradayas, there are many sub-branches, and there can be some variation. But Srila Prabhupada writes that Bilwa Mangal Thakur was one of the foremost disciples of Vishnu Swami. And that is the Rudra Sampradaya. It is also the Vallabhacharya Sampradaya. One of the sub-branches is the Pushti Marg. Generally the mood is different. In the Kumar Sampradaya, which is the Nimbarkacharya Sampradaya, the mood is worshipping as the servants of the servants of the gopis. In our Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya, in the line of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and as trying to become Rupanugas, our mood is to become the servants of the Manjaris.
Mm-hmm.
In Sri Sampradaya, which is the Ramanujacharya Sampradaya, again, there are alvars like Maharaj Kulashekhar, who are pure devotees of Lord Ramchandra. So then there is also worship of Lord Narayan, worship of Ranganath. So there is more Aishwarya Mishra Bhakti. So like that, Prabhu.
Right. And so that's why, but specifically in Rudra, you described all of those sampradayas, but specifically Rudra, what is the worship like in that one?
Again, Prabhu, it is not fixed. Like different branches may have different, but generally it is worshipping Krishna in the Balya Leela.
Yeah, that's what so I was thinking.
Generally their mantra is Shri Krishna Sharanam Mama, and they like to meditate on Krishna in his Balya Leela, Kaumar Leela.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I was wondering, you know, because that's what my memory told me. But then since Krishna appeared to him like as like a 10-year-old boy, you know, like it's like much older than a baby form, I was wondering
yes,
why he would
so have... Bilwa Mangal Thakur, we have to understand that yes, he got Shiksha from the Vishnu Swami Sampradaya. Yes, he got Diksha from the Advaita Sampradaya, from Somagiri. But in this verse that we read, Chintamani Jayatu, Bilwa Mangal Thakur is clearly saying that his Shiksha Guru, his predominant Shiksha Guru, is Krishna himself. So that is how Bilwa Mangal Thakur had access to the very esoteric, very difficult to comprehend rasas of bhakti.
Uh-huh. Okay. Also, thank you. Also, you know, in the last part of your talk, you were saying that we just have to say, you know, no to our anartas and yes to Krishna, you know. But like, you know, Bilwa Mangala, he's a good example because his material desire was so strong that even after, you know, the Chintamani events and even after gouging out his eyes, you know, he still had such strong desire. So how is it practical for a person with such intense desire to just, you know, just say no, as they used to say in the Reagan era. And people used to laugh at that because just say no seemed so impractical in the face of such intense desire. You know, even though with your intelligence you may know that, you know, following your material desires is wrong, but you know, the intensity of the material desire is there. So how can we practically say, just deny, you know, those pushings
yes.
and say yes to Krishna?
Yes, Prabhu, that's a very important question. And I understand what you're saying. I have also experienced that very much in my life. I still do. It is very difficult to say no. But whatever I have experienced, I can share with you that no has to be simultaneously, concomitantly accompanied by yes to positive association. For example, if something is tempting me, I say no to it. At the same time, I have to say yes. Let me call up this dear devotee friend and talk to him on the phone. Or let me get in the association of devotees. Let me go into the association of devotees. Let me tune into ISKCON Desire Tree. Let me hear some nice lecture. We have to say yes to the positive. We have to say no to the negative. Just simply saying no, no, no doesn't help. That's what Ajamil did. When Ajamil saw the prostrate, he said no, no. He was trying to remember the teachings that he had learned from his father. But that no, no was not enough. The temptation was too strong. He got carried away. That no has to be accompanied by yes to higher association. And we have to get into the association of devotees, either physically or through the oral medium, like hearing. Hear some lecture at that moment of temptation, at that moment where you're feeling pulled by the negative energy. You have to say yes to the positive energy right there. Otherwise, the negative energy will suck you. Just saying no, 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 that no, no becomes milder and milder, milder, and then we get pulled. So we have to say no, and we have to say yes at the same time to something positive.
But, yeah, I mean, I agree with that, but I also think that, you know, in the moment, that even that it might even take too much strength to even say yes to the positive in the heat of the moment, you know?
Yes, yes, Prabhu. It is, that is also there. And so, therefore, if when we sincerely try, but still we fail, then if there is an accidental fall down, despite sincerely trying, then Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Apichet suduracharo bhajate ma mananya bhak sadhur eva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. That Apichet suduracharo, even if my devotee performs the most abominable act, bhajate mam ananya bhak, but without deviation he is engaged in serving me. Sadhur eva samantavya, he should still be considered a sadhu. Samyag vyavasito hisa, because he is properly situated in his determination, in his vyavasaya. And then what happens? Shipram bhavati dharmatma. Very soon, shipram, very soon he will become dharmatma. Yes, he may be have, he might have done something adharmic, but shipram bhavati dharmatma shashvat shantim nigachati, and he will attain lasting peace. And then when Krishna is giving this assurance, Krishna goes in so much ecstasy that Krishna tells Arjun, kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. It is Krishna's vow, my devotee will not perish. And Krishna is so attached to his devotees that when he's promising Arjuna that this is, even if, you know, despite trying, despite being engaged in my service, if my devotee has accidental fall down, I will protect him. Very soon he will become dharmatma. Very soon he will become righteous. Oh, and then Krishna goes in so much ecstasy that he cannot speak. He says, Arjun, you declare it. You go and declare it boldly that I say, my devotee shall never perish. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. That is Krishna's heart. So if something happens, Prabhu, we should have hope. A devotee has repentance for the bad things we have done, but a devotee is never without hope. Devotee always has hope that yes, I have my failings, I am weak-kneed, I'm not very decisive, I'm indecisive, but despite all my failings, all my weaknesses, if I carry on this process of Krishna consciousness, if I chant my rounds attentively, if unnecessarily I don't go into tempting situations.
Mm-hmm.
Lot of times, Prabhu, when we end up saying yes to the bad things, it is because we have ourselves gone into those tempting situations unnecessarily.
Mm-hmm.
If we analyze honestly.
Yes, yes.
So if you're going in a boat and you see that in that direction there is a storm, why go into that storm? Why go into that
right.
storm?
Yes.
So
yes.
Just so that we have to be honest with ourselves. If we know something is dangerous for our consciousness, something has dragged our consciousness forcefully down in the past, let us try consciously to not go there. So avoid unnecessarily tempting situations. But still, something happens and we fall down accidentally, then Krishna makes this promise, I will take care of it. As long as we are engaged in Krishna's service. Hope that helps.
Because Krishna sees that his devotee's heart is in the right place. But maybe due to karmic reaction, they have those that Bilva Mangala Thakur tendency, that deeper habits, you know, deeply rooted habits. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, that is the seeds that we discussed in the beginning of the class. Mm-hmm. The other sinful desires lying as seeds in our heart, and they can fructify at any time. So therefore, we have to be very cautious. We have to be very cautious. Bhurijan Prabhu, in his book Japa, he says that the mind is like a wild animal that we have captured by the process of Krishna consciousness. If we put our guard down and we just neglect the animal, immediately it's a wild animal. It's going to just run away again. So just because we seem to have controlled it momentarily, we should not let our guard down. So yes, when we are in the position of devotees, our consciousness is high and we feel, yes, I can taste it. I can taste the ecstasy. But very soon we find ourselves alone, tempted, consciousness is down. So to avoid that, you know, we have to be very careful. It's the result of those seeds which are lying in our heart. But Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, it is explained by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that these seeds are like snakes in the forest, living in the holes underground. But when there is a blazing forest fire, not only are the trees and all the fuel burnt up, but even the snakes are killed naturally. So similarly, these seeds will also be destroyed in due course of time. But we have to chant our rounds attentively in the morning, at least 16 rounds. Sadhana has to be strong, hearing, reading, associating with devotees, and we should try to, as far as possible, avoid Vaishnava aparad or any aparad. This is the basics of Krishna consciousness. We have to go back to basics. Like recently, I was having a lot of trouble with my own consciousness. So I was talking to my very dear friend, and he told me, Adigadhar Prabhu, how is your chanting? How is your sadhana? I said, Prabhu, I'm struggling. He said, yeah, you have to chant Brahma Murta. You have to finish your rounds. Are you finishing your rounds before 6 a.m., before 7 a.m.? I said, no, Prabhu. He said, do it, and you'll feel the difference. So I'm trying, and you know, it's definitely helping. Sometimes you have to just go back to basics. Sometimes you have to just go back to basics. So I hope that helps, Prabhu.
Oh, yes, thank you very much, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna.
Yeah, you know, you also mentioned this Krishna River. I had never heard of this Krishna River before. Is it still there?
It's a river. It's a river in South India.
Okay. And just one last thing. You know, I missed how Bilva Mangala first encountered Krishna as, let me see, as that 10-year-old boy, how was he called?
When he was...
Bihari Lal. How did he first encounter Krishna?
Nothing, he was just walking. He was just walking from that Brahmin's house towards Vrindavan. And he was asking people, how can I go to Vrindavan? How do I go to Vrindavan? So he met this boy who said, hey, even I am going to Vrindavan. Come, Babaji, I will take you. And he holds his hand and helps him on the way. And they travel together for some time. That's how they meet.
Okay. All right. Well,
thank you, Prabhu.
I know I've taken up so much time. Thank you so very much for your mercy and patience.
Dhanyavad, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Dhanyavad Pranam. Arvashu Prabhupada Guru Maharaj. Such a wonderful class, Prabhuji. And you explained so nicely about the importance of Shiksha Guru and how we need to behave with them. But sometimes, Prabhuji, we have so much respect for them and we are here because of them to into Krishna consciousness. But sometimes if they think irrelevant or like opposite to our institute, then what should be our attitude, Prabhuji?
So Mataji,
due to respect, we cannot give them opposite answers or like that. So
right. So Mataji, the short answer is that devotees who do not inspire us in the right way in Krishna consciousness, we should carefully avoid their association. And we can do it diplomatically. We can do it in a Vaishnava way. but we should not associate with people who disturb our faith or who teach us wrong things or who take us away from the pure teachings of Srila Prabhupada. So if there is a discrepancy, if there is some deviation, then we should seek that association which is in line with the pure teachings of Srila Prabhupada. It takes some discrimination, it takes some intelligence, it may require us to discuss this with our well-wishers, but that is something we have to do it. And there are Shastric references, there are ISKCON examples of this also. So we all know Bali Maharaj rejected his guru Shukracharya when Shukracharya was telling him not to surrender to Vishnu. So that is one example in the scripture, but even we have seen so many times that sometimes when there is a difference of opinion, there is a discrepancy, we have to ultimately follow Srila Prabhupada. And fortunately in ISKCON, there are many, many spiritual masters, there are many, many spiritual mentors, many, many spiritual counselors who are very much following the mood of Srila Prabhupada. So there is no scarcity of having the right spiritual guides within ISKCON. We just have to look. Hope that helps, Mataji.
Yes, Prabhupada. But sometimes whatever they are saying, that may be true, like maybe true, but it's confusing, Prabhupada.
Right, Mataji. So there are truths, but see, what these devotees, I know what you're referring to, what these devotees are saying are the smaller truths. Yes, what they are saying may be true, but it is a smaller truth. That truth is not the focus. The focus is the larger truth. The focus is to make our heart soft. The focus is to cooperate. So sometimes what happens is, when we read too many books or too many different types of literatures, our mind gets skewed in one direction. And we develop a lopsided view of looking at things. And so that becomes, that's an imbalance. So then we lose focus from what really deserves our focus. And we start focusing on the smaller issues, on the details. And we get carried away by the details. The principle is to be true to the guru. The principle is to follow what the guru has taught. If there are discrepancies, if there are problems, we can deal with them, but they should not become our focus. So yes, what some people are saying may be true, but that's a smaller truth. That should not be the focus of your spiritual life. That should not be the focus of your service. Does that make sense, Mataji?
Yes, Prabhuji, yes. We need to avoid their association.
Sorry, what did you say, Mataji?
So we need to avoid their association.
Yes, in a very respectful and Vaishnava way, but in a very firm and deliberate way, we have to seek that association which nourishes our Bhakti Lata Beej. Because this Krishna consciousness is very precious. Srila Prabhupada has given sacrifice so much to create this ISKCON. So whatever grievances are there, we have to stay within ISKCON and try to rectify them. So yes, Mataji, we have to consciously avoid the association of people who teach us wrong things and disturb our faith or disturb our focus and get us engrossed into the smaller details. And we should seek association of those devotees who can redirect our focus to the basics and who can inspire us in bhakti. Thank you, Mataji.
Thank you.
We should do it respectfully. Correct.
Okay. Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. I have a question. Also, you were mentioning that the Krishna Karanam, that Bilwamangal Thakur, there are many Bilwamangal Thakur in South India. So, did they all write a version of Krishna Karanamrita? Or, because I've heard, you know, I'm just curious, is there only one Krishna Karanamrita?
There is only one Krishna Karanamrita, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found during his South India Yatra. But the other Bilwa Mangal Thakurs are also, some of them are devotees of Krishna, and they wrote other poetry. But Krishna Karanamrit is by Bilwa Mangal Thakur.
Okay,
and
so
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found a copy. Yeah, and the copy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu found is not the complete Krishna Karanamrit.
Oh, okay.
It's just just one shatak or one part of it. There are other parts also to it. Just like Brahma Samhita, we only have the fifth chapter. Similarly,
right.
We don't have full Krishna Karanamrita.
Okay, and so we have ISKCON Desire Tree has the version of Krishna Karanamrita, don't we? I remember seeing it.
It is there.
Okay.
Yes, it is there. It is very esoteric.
Yeah. Yes. I understand that. I was just curious because I was just curious because when you said there are many Bilwa Mangal Thakurs, I was just thinking about that and can it cause. Okay, thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna. And thank you for that question also about you know, how do we control our desires. That was the question that was in my head and you answered it. So thank you, Prabhu, very much. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Anyone else has any questions, comments, realizations you want to share? Anything else for Prabhuji? Okay. Thank you all for the very nice response. A lot of people have joined. It was a very inspiring class, Prabhu. Very, very inspiring, and it helps me look within, especially about dhanarthas that I have and the control of desires and everything. It was a very instructive class. Thank you so much for the excellent katha. Very inspiring story. Thank you so much for narrating it so beautifully. Thank you for your association. We are very indebted to you, Prabhu. Vancha kalpataru vascha kripa sindhu devacha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha anantakoti vaishnavrindiki jai srila prabhupada ki jai srishi chaitanya charitamrita ki jai bilwa mangal thakur ji ki jai his grace adi gadadhar prabhu ki jai hare krishna thank you jai
all glories to srila prabhupada thank you dandavat pranam
thank you hare krishna hare
krishna
thank you prabhu ji hare krishna
hare krishna
Thank you, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.